A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
That high-pitched whine followed by the tactile buzz of a bit biting into plastic. That's the sound of a power drill becoming yours forever. It's the sound of claiming territory in a world of identical black and yellow tools.
It really is a specific noise, isn't it? Half dentist's office, half tiny jet engine. And what it's doing, you're literally carving your name into something that otherwise looks exactly like everyone else's. I love that.
Daniel sent us this one. He just picked up a Dremel rotary engraver for an Apama move, and he's been engraving IDs into things he couldn't label any other way. He says it's addictive. The fine technique, the immediate feedback, and he's already stumbled onto uses beyond engraving. Lightly abrading a surface before gluing, for instance, turns a failed superglue joint into something that actually holds. He wants us to talk about what these tools can do for people who've never owned one, or who have one sitting in a drawer and don't know what they're sitting on.
This is the kind of prompt that makes me genuinely excited, because the Dremel is one of those tools that gets pigeonholed so hard. People think engraving pen or craft thing, and they never realize they're holding a general-purpose surface modification platform that spins anywhere from 10,000 to 35,000 RPM. It's not a tool for one job. It's a platform for dozens.
Surface modification platform. You've been waiting to say that.
And I stand by it. Because that's exactly what it is. It's not a drill. It's not a saw. It's a precision rotary tool that changes surfaces. It removes material. It textures material. It polishes material. And most people never get past the engraving bit that came in the box.
Which is a shame. Because Daniel's already discovered the thing that got me hooked years ago. That moment where you realize superglue fails on smooth surfaces. Not because the glue is bad, but because the surface is too smooth. You rough it up for 30 seconds with a sanding drum, same glue, and suddenly it's structural.
There's actual material science behind that. Cyanoacrylate, superglue, requires a mechanical bond. It needs pores, scratches, something to grip into. On a perfectly smooth plastic surface, the available surface area for bonding is tiny. Abrade it with a Dremel, and you increase the microscopic surface area by 10 to 50 times. Same glue, completely different result. At the microscopic level, you're creating a landscape of peaks and valleys instead of a glass-smooth plane. The glue flows into those microfractures, cures, and now you've got a mechanical interlock instead of a surface film that peels off the first time you breathe on it.
Daniel's intuition was right. He just reached for the rotary tool like it was miniature sandpaper, and it worked.
That's the gateway. That's the moment where you stop thinking of it as an engraver and start thinking of it as a solution to problems you didn't know had a mechanical answer. Why won't this glue hold? Becomes this surface needs preparation. How do I get this rust off this tiny bracket? Becomes wire brush bit, 30 seconds. This plastic edge is rough, becomes sanding drum, done.
There's something about the apartment move context that makes this especially relevant. You're packing up your life, everything's in boxes, you're arguing with roommates or movers about whose power strip is whose or whose charger block. The great charger block dispute of every shared living situation. And the Dremel solves that in 2 minutes per item. Engrave your initials, and suddenly there's no argument. It's permanent. It's visible. It can't peel off like a label.
Which brings us to the technique addiction Daniel mentioned. He's not wrong. There's something satisfying about engraving that goes beyond the practical outcome. You're making a permanent mark. No drying time, no second chances, no peeling or fading. You plan the stroke, you execute it, and the result is immediate and irreversible.
It's the opposite of most modern consumer experiences, where everything is reversible and nothing leaves a mark.
You can undo a label, you can peel off a sticker, you can wipe away a marker, but an engraved line in plastic or metal, that's there forever. There's a finality to it that creates this little dopamine loop. Plan, execute, see the permanent result, repeat.
The tool itself, the sound, the vibration, the way the bit bites. It's tactile in a way that a label maker isn't. A label maker goes, whir, click, whir, and spits out a sticker. A Dremel hums at 20,000 RPM and you feel it in your fingers.
The rotational energy is doing the work, not your hand pressure. That's the key difference between a rotary tool and hand sanding. When you sand by hand, you're applying pressure and friction. It's exhausting, it's inconsistent, and on curved surfaces, it's nearly impossible to maintain even contact. A Dremel at high RPM removes material through speed, not force. You guide it, the tool does the work.
Which is why it works on curves, edges, tight corners, places where a sanding block can't reach and your fingers can't apply even pressure. And for apartment dwellers especially, that matters. You don't have a workbench, you don't have a vise. You're working on a kitchen table with a drop cloth. The Dremel is designed for exactly that. Small, precise, controlled work that doesn't require a workshop.
We've got a tool that's cheap, versatile, apartment-friendly, and most people who own one are using maybe 10% of what it can do. That's the episode. And I want to get into the physics of why it works the way it does, because understanding the abrasion mechanism is what unlocks all the other use cases.
Let's start with the physics.
Okay, so the core mechanism, and this is where most people get it wrong, is not about power, it's about speed. A Dremel operates at 10,000 to 35,000 RPM depending on the model. For context, a typical drill spins at maybe 2,000 RPM max. A car engine redlines at 6 or 7,000. 35,000 RPM is absurdly fast.
The bit isn't grinding through material by force. It's making so many tiny cuts per second that the material just...
At 35,000 RPM, a sanding drum with even a medium grit sleeve is making nearly 600 revolutions per second. Each revolution, each abrasive particle on that sleeve is taking a microscopic bite out of the surface. Multiply that by 600 per second and you're removing material in a controlled, repeatable way that has nothing to do with how hard you're pressing.
Which explains why pressing harder doesn't make it work better. It just burns out the motor and ruins the bit.
New users do this constantly. They lean into the tool like it's a pencil, and all they're doing is creating friction heat and bogging down the motor. The tool is designed to do the work at speed. Your job is to guide it, not to force it. The physics of abrasion at high RPM is fundamentally different from hand sanding. Hand sanding relies on pressure and friction to tear material away. Rotary abrasion relies on shear force. The rotational energy creates microfractures at the surface, and each successive pass removes the fractured material.
You're not sanding, you're microchipping.
That's actually a much better way to describe it. And it matters because different bit types create different kinds of microfractures. A diamond burr leaves a polished cut because the diamond particles are so hard and so fine that they chip away material in incredibly small increments. A carbide cutter shears material, it's actually cutting, not abrading, and it leaves a clean edge. An abrasive wheel fractures the surface in a rougher pattern, which is exactly what you want for adhesion prep.
Choosing the wrong bit isn't just inefficient, it produces the wrong surface finish for what you're trying to do.
That's the number one frustration for new users. They grab whatever bit is in the kit, it doesn't work the way they expect, and they assume the tool is bad or they're bad at using it. In reality, they're using a diamond burr when they need a carbide cutter, or vice versa. The bit selection is everything.
Which brings us back to Daniel's glue discovery. What bit was he using?
He said he was lightly abrading the surface, so probably a sanding drum, which is exactly the right choice. A sanding drum with a medium grit sleeve creates that landscape of microfractures I was talking about. If he'd used a polishing bit, which is designed to smooth surfaces, he would have made the problem worse. Even less surface area for the glue to bond to.
The same tool, the same RPM, but the wrong bit, and you get the opposite result.
That's the power of understanding the physics. Once you know that adhesion requires mechanical interlock, and that different bits create different surface topographies, you can look at a problem and know what to reach for. Broken plastic bracket on a vacuum cleaner? Smooth plastic plus super glue equals failure in 10 minutes. 30 seconds with a sanding drum, same glue, holds for months. I've done it. The bracket on my old vacuum cracked right at the mounting point. Smooth ABS plastic, super glue alone, couldn't hold it for more than a few minutes of use. roughed up both surfaces with a Dremel sanding drum, applied the same cyanoacrylate, and it's still holding 2 years later.
2 years on a vacuum bracket that takes repeated stress. That's not a small improvement. That's the difference between throwing something away and fixing it permanently.
That's the mindset shift. The Dremel turns. This is broken and can't be fixed, into this surface needs preparation. It's not a glue problem, it's a surface problem. It's not a rust problem, it's a material removal problem. It's not a rough edge problem, it's a finishing problem. The tool doesn't solve one thing, it gives you a way to think about surfaces differently.
Which is probably why Daniel described it as addictive. It's not just the engraving, it's the realization that you can modify almost anything.
That's where we should go next. The range of things this tool can do that have nothing to do with engraving. Because the adhesion science is just the entry point.
Before we get there, though, the technique thing. Daniel mentioned fine technique, the art of engraving. What's actually happening when you get good at it?
It's mostly about consistency of depth and speed of movement. The tool is spinning at a fixed RPM, but the rate at which you move the bit across the surface determines how deep the cut is. Move too fast, you get a faint scratch. Move too slow, you burn the material or cut too deep. The sweet spot is a steady, deliberate hand speed that matches the bit and the material.
It's like handwriting, but the pen is spinning at 20,000 RPM and can't be erased.
And different materials require different approaches. Soft plastic engraves easily, but can melt if you go too slow. The friction heat builds up and you get a gummy mess instead of a clean line. Metal requires more patience but gives you cleaner results. Glass needs a diamond bit and a very light touch, or it'll chip unpredictably.
Melting plastic with friction heat. There's a failure mode I wouldn't have predicted.
It's a common beginner mistake. You're engraving a plastic power tool case, you slow down to make a careful curve, and suddenly the bit is surrounded by a little melted ridge of plastic. The fix is either higher RPM so the bit cuts cleaner and generates less heat, or faster hand movement so the heat doesn't concentrate in one spot.
Faster can be cleaner, counterintuitively.
In abrasion, yes. Higher RPM with a light touch removes material more cleanly than lower RPM with more pressure. It's the opposite of what your instincts tell you. Your instincts are calibrated for hand tools, where pressure equals results. With rotary tools, speed equals results, and pressure equals problems. It takes a while to unlearn that.
We've got the physics of abrasion, the adhesion science, the bit selection, the technique curve. And we haven't even talked about cutting drywall or polishing headlights yet.
Or restoring cast iron. Or cleaning grout. Should we get into that?
Let's talk about what else this thing can do.
Here's the thing that struck me reading Daniel's prompt. He figured out the abrasion trick by intuition, just reached for the tool and tried something. And that's actually the core insight about the Dremel that the marketing never captures. Its real utility doesn't come from the list of things the manual says it can do. It comes from the user recognizing that a surface needs mechanical alteration, and the Dremel happens to be the thing within arm's reach that can do it.
It's a solution looking for problems you didn't know were mechanical.
That's fundamentally different from how most tools are sold. A drill is sold as, you need holes, buy this. A saw is sold as, you need to cut wood, buy this. The Dremel is sold as an engraver or a craft tool, but what it actually is? The thing that makes people like Daniel describe it as addictive is a general-purpose surface modifier that happens to fit in one hand.
Which makes the satisfaction question interesting. Why does a rotary engraver feel better than a label maker? A label maker solves the same identification problem. It's faster, it's more legible, you can change your mind.
Yet nobody describes a label maker as addictive. Nobody's ever said, I stayed up until 2 a.m. labeling things because I couldn't stop. I think the difference is about agency and permanence. A label maker applies something to a surface. It's additive. The Dremel removes material from the surface. It's subtractive. You're not sticking something on. You're changing the object itself.
There's a philosophical difference between this belongs to me and I have marked this as mine.
The rotary tool does the second thing. A label says property of. An engraving says I was here. It's the difference between a sticky note and a signature, and that permanence creates a different kind of attention. When you know you can't undo it, you slow down. You plan the stroke. There's a tiny moment of ceremony before the bit touches the surface that a label maker never gives you.
It's the glockenspiel of tool-based commitment.
I don't know what that means, but I'm going to accept it and move on. The other thing about the satisfaction factor is that the tool rewards curiosity. Daniel tried sanding before gluing because he wondered if it would help. And it did. And now he's going to wonder about other things.
The gateway abrasion.
Once you're through that gate, the range of things the tool can do expands dramatically. Most people buy a Dremel for one specific task and never explore beyond that. But the accessory ecosystem is built for exploration. Let me give you a few that surprised me when I first dug into it. Cutting drywall for outlet boxes. Trimming laminate flooring in tight corners. Removing rust from tool handles with a wire brush bit. Polishing scratched plastic headlights with a felt tip and compound. Cleaning grout lines. Sharpening garden tools. Stripping paint from door hinges. Restoring corroded battery contacts.
Half of those are cleaning tasks.
That's the thing nobody tells you. The Dremel is an incredible cleaning and restoration tool for small-scale work. A wire brush bit at 15,000 RPM removes rust and corrosion from hardware faster and more precisely than any hand brush. You can restore a thrift store cast iron skillet in 15 minutes. Wire brush for the rust, polishing bit for the finish.
That's not in the brochure.
It's not in the brochure because Dremel wants to sell you the polishing kit and the cleaning kit and the grout removal kit as separate things. But it's all the same tool with different bits. The platform is what matters. They sell over 200 accessories, and the sheer number makes the tool seem more complicated than it is. In reality, there are maybe 5-bit categories that cover 90% of what a typical user would ever want to do. Diamond bits for engraving and fine detail. Carbide cutters for shaping and cutting. Sanding drums for abrasion and surface prep. Felt polishing tips for finishing. Wire brushes for cleaning and rust removal.
5 categories, 200 accessories.
Because each category has sizes and grits and shapes. But the core capability set is small. And once you understand what each category does to a surface, you can figure out which one you need without memorizing a catalog.
The tool is simpler than it looks, and more capable than it's marketed. That's a rare combination.
It really is. And for apartment dwellers especially, the fact that it does detail work that larger tools would destroy is the key advantage. An oscillating multi-tool can cut a hole in drywall faster, but it'll leave a ragged edge and you'll be patching for an hour. The Dremel with a cutting bit is slower but precise. It's the difference between a scalpel and a hatchet.
Which matters when you're working in a rental and can't afford to make a mess.
Or when you're working on something small enough that a full-size tool can't even reach the problem. Try cleaning corrosion out of a battery compartment with a drill-mounted wire brush. You can't. The Dremel's small diameter bits get into spaces that nothing else can.
The size isn't a limitation. It's the feature.
The size is the entire value proposition. It's a precision tool. It's not trying to compete with a drill or a saw. It's replacing files, scrapers, sanding blocks, polishing cloths. The hand tools that require technique and patience and still give inconsistent results.
Which brings us back to Daniel's apartment move. He's engraving tools and electronics, which is the obvious use case, but he's also discovering that the same tool solves problems he didn't know he had. And that's the real pitch for someone who's never owned one.
The pitch is, you already have problems this tool solves. You just don't know they're rotary tool problems yet. Broken plastic thing you were going to throw away? Probably fixable with 30 seconds of surface prep and the glue you already own. Rusty hardware that makes something look old and neglected? Clean it in minutes. Rough edge on something plastic that annoys you every time you touch it?
It turns, I guess I'll live with it, into, I can fix that.
That's the mindset shift that makes it addictive. Not the engraving itself, the realization that you're not stuck with surfaces the way they are. You can modify them, in your kitchen, for the cost of a bit.
Let's talk about what someone should actually do. Someone listening who has a Dremel in a drawer, or is thinking about buying one, what's the first thing?
The first thing is to understand that the Dremel is not a replacement for a drill or a saw. It's not trying to be. If you need a hole in a 2x4, use a drill. If you need to cut a sheet of plywood, use a circular saw. The Dremel is a replacement for a file, a scraper, a sanding block, and a polishing cloth. It's supposed to do the detail work that power tools are too large for and hand tools are too slow for.
Precision hand tool replacement, not power tool replacement.
And that distinction matters because a lot of people buy a rotary tool thinking it'll be a miniature drill press, and they're disappointed when it can't drive a deck screw. That's not what it's for. What it's for is the thing you'd otherwise do by hand, slowly, inconsistently, and with sore fingers.
That's the first thing. What's the second?
Surface prep before gluing. This is the gateway drug. Next time you need to super glue something plastic, spend 30 seconds with a sanding drum on both surfaces first. Same glue, completely different result. It's the single highest impact technique shift for someone who's never used the tool beyond engraving.
The third thing?
Buy 5 good bits instead of 50 bad ones. The cheap 100-piece sets on Amazon have poor concentricity. They don't spin true. A sanding drum that wobbles at 20,000 RPM creates vibration, uneven wear, and poor results. The abrasive coating flakes off. The wire brushes shed bristles into your workpiece. Stick with Dremel brand or known third parties like Sabertooth. The price difference per bit is maybe a dollar or two, and the quality difference is the difference between a tool that works and a tool that fights you.
The starter kit with 5 to 10 bits is the right move, not the 100-piece set.
Just the core 5 categories, 1 or 2 bits each, and then you add specific bits as you discover specific needs. The 100-piece set feels like a deal because it's 100 things for $20. But 90 of those things you will never use, and the 10 you do use will perform badly and wear out fast. It's the Harbor Freight effect. The price signals value, but the concentricity is off. The abrasive grit is inconsistent, and the shank diameter is slightly undersized, so it slips in the collet.
Slipping in the collet at 20,000 RPM is not a small problem.
It is. A bit becomes a projectile problem. So yes, buy fewer, buy better.
The fourth thing?
Engrave everything before you pack it. 2 minutes per item. It eliminates the, is this mine? Argument with roommates, movers, your future self who can't remember which power strip was whose. And it's not just about ownership disputes. It's about the moment 6 months later when you're looking at 2 identical black DeWalt batteries and you can't remember which one holds a charge and which one dies in 10 minutes. Engrave a little star on the good one.
Or engrave the date you bought it. Battery age matters for lithium ion cells.
So it's not just identification, it's annotation. And that's the thing the label maker can't do on a curved, greasy, dusty tool surface. The label peels off. The engraving stays.
Go grab your Dremel, or borrow one, and try something you haven't tried before. And if you discover something weird and wonderful, send it to us. I'm curious what people are doing with these things that the manual never imagined.
The Dremel community has this culture of creative misuse that I find fascinating. People carve pumpkins with them. I've seen someone use a felt polishing tip to buff out scratches on a phone screen. There's a guy on a forum who trims his dog's nails with a sanding drum, which sounds unhinged, but apparently the dog prefers it to clippers.
I need to meet that dog.
The point is, the tool's versatility is only limited by what the user thinks to try. And as apartments get smaller and shared workshops disappear, tools that do multiple jobs will become more valuable, not less. The Dremel represents a philosophy of one tool, many functions, and that might be the future of urban DIY.
It's the tool you already own for the problems you haven't recognized yet.
Which is a good place to land. If you've got a Dremel story, especially the weird ones, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We might do a follow-up on the most creative uses people have found.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The geometric pattern known as Gobi tiling was first cataloged in 1843 by a French surveyor who noticed that the desert's cracked mud polygons, when averaged over a square kilometer, produced a repeating pentagonal symmetry previously thought mathematically impossible in natural formations. He named it Pavé de Gobi, which is also where we get the word pavement.
Right. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps. We'll be back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from law. and stay curious, keep weird in mind.